Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may be seated.
Well, it's a joy to be with all of you today. Jeremy, I'm thankful that you took it easy on me. You know you have some stories from preaching training camp, so I'm glad you didn't, share those. And I'm very thankful for everything you all have done for me. Just ever since I came through here, you all have consistently been supportive of me and have encouraged me. You all have fed me very well, both spiritually and physically, and I'm thankful for that as well. And I could probably spend all my time telling you how thankful I am, but I was asked to preach, not give a graduation speech. So I'll just sum it all up by saying thank you. We just heard the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower is something that's been on my mind a lot lately. A lot of it has to do with the fact that I've just been looking back on everything. I'm fixing to make a big move, going up to Colorado. Things are going to change, and I've been looking back on things. I've been looking back on my life and how I've progressed and how I've matured in some ways. And I've looked at, people I've talked to, people I've had studies with. And I think about, where they were. And I can honestly say, if we look back from my sophomore year to my senior year, my sophomore year was whenever I started training for ministry, to my senior year, I can honestly say I've seen every single example of the parable of the sower that's seen in the parable itself. So, and I think about that, and I think, from one perspective, we have to have an understanding of, where people are. And on the others, we have to be willing to examine ourselves as well. And that's what I want to do. I want to dig into the text and get a better understanding of the parable as a whole. So if you will, let's join me in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, many of you may already be there. And we're going to look at the explanation Jesus gave to his disciples, because they didn't understand it. So Matthew 13, where we're going to be this evening is verses 19 through 23. They won't let me go any further because Tim told me there's a trap door, and if I go for too long, they're going to send me down. So we're going to stay there. Now, one of the things we have to make sure we understand about the parable is that the seed represents the Word of God. And we sang a few songs about that just now. And where it fell represents the people. It represents their heart. So one of the things we have to make sure we understand is that whenever that seed didn't produce, it wasn't because of the seed. All right, if you plant an apple seed, you are always going to plant, you're always going to get an apple tree. You're not going to get a tree that plants bananas if you plant an apple seed. Well, the seed that we see here is the seed of the kingdom. It produces one kingdom that's subject to the king being Christ. That's what it produces every single time. And whether it produces or not depends on the soil. The first area we have is the seed on the road, Matthew 13, and we'll begin in verse 19. It says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is one on whom the seed was sown on the road." So there's one common denominator that we see with all four of these areas. It's that they all heard the word. So this means that they can have the knowledge of what the gospel is, the sin situation we found ourselves in, and we can understand how we can be redeemed and how we can have forgiveness of our sins and have eternal life. And that also brings out accountability. They can choose whether or not to obey that. So whenever the text says that they didn't understand it, it's not talking about their intellectual capability, all right? It's not because they're dumb, all right? We can even go back to Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching to those Grecian Jews. They understood his message, and they hated it. And as a result, they stoned him to death. So part of the problem is that, you know, they have a hardness of heart. There's so many factors that can go into it. It could be prejudice. It could be total stubbornness. It could be unwillingness to be taught. It could be traditions that they're holding on to. But is that what kept it from growing? Not necessarily. The ultimate cause is when that bird came in and took it away, right? When the evil ones came in and swooped it. And you got to wonder, why were they able to do that? Because they left that such a surface level where anything could get to it. Anything had access to it. They let the world influence what they thought of the word instead of looking at the source for itself. And, you know, honestly, there's a lot of people out there, you know, they'll claim to be Christians and they'll live the whole Christ-like life and all that, but they're really not about that. That's not the life that they live. So the problem that we see here that ultimately causes the downfall of the one on the road is that they allow the world to influence what they think. The next one we have is the one that's on the rock, verses 20 and 21. It says, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is a man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when afflictions or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So we have this picture painted for us that, you know, it falls on this rocky ground. Maybe there's soil there because it immediately starts to grow. They immediately start making splendid progress. This is someone you see, you know, you think they're going to be so good. They're going to be so dedicated to Christ and His church. They're going to be such great examples. And then, boom, they run into that rock and they wither away. And no progress is made after that. You know, and this, you start to wonder, why did this happen? You know, this person was going along so well, and all of a sudden, it just didn't work out. You got to wonder, why did that happen? I want you to notice a couple of things within the text. Number one, that they received the word with joy. And that's understandable because there's joy in the gospel. There's joy in the good news that we can be redeemed. I also want you to notice another thing, how the word immediately is used in both verses 20 and 21. All right, so they heard the word, immediately they have joy, right? Verse 21, trials and tribulations come up, immediately they fall away because they're only temporary. You see that kind of, there's kind of this shift in, you know, they go from one extreme to the next. So they're unstable. And, you know, maybe this is someone who perhaps they obeyed the gospel without counting the cost of discipleship. And the fact of the matter is that the disciple is never above his master. And we all know what they did to our master, right? All right, they put him on the cross. They beat him, they spit in his face, and they made him suffer an unjust, cruel, and humiliating death. All right? And so, naturally, trials and tribulations are going to come up because of that. And that comes to the point where we have to turn our focus to what is eternal instead of what is temporary, because everything we see here on this earth is temporary. But when we start to focus on Christ, that's eternal. They lose that focus. They lose that fire. Because they didn't even expect the trials to come up in the first place. You know, and ultimately, you know, the thing that we know is that their faith is shallow. There's no real strength in it. This is the type of person, they'll jump on the bandwagon when there's some great revival. Or when there's an Affirming the Faith seminar, and they'll go there and they'll be all about the church and all about Christ. But whenever it's time to be challenged, they'll sink like a boat. That's the seed that fell on the rock. Now we have the next one. The seed that fell among the thorns. Verse 22 says, and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, the fact that it fell among the thorns shows you that their priorities were already misplaced. All right, you know, this is someone, you know, maybe they want to live that church life, I guess, if you want to put it like that. They want to go to church on Sundays and, you know, they want to be all spiritual, have their spiritual friends, their church friends, you know, someone that, you know, maybe will buy them dinner after the sermon's over. But the other 6 days a week, they don't want to live that life. They're too focused on chasing something else. They're never really able to concentrate on the word itself and being in obedient to Him. All right, they have another master. All right, Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate one, love the other. I mean, you either love one, hate the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. And what it means by wealth is anything that you put above God that's temporary, whether it be money, whether it be sports or you know, automobiles or all these other things. And the worries of the world, because, you know, it mentions the worries of the world, and that makes sense because the world tells you to worry about these things. It tells you to worry about how much money you're making, because if you're not making a certain amount, you're basically a failure, you know? And it tells you to get the biggest house you can, get the nicest car you can. Now, I'm not saying if you have a big house or a nice car that this is where you're at, but what I am saying is that that's not what you should be putting your entire focus on, and unfortunately, this person's doing that. You know, if you talk to this person, they'll tell you, I'm not a sinful person. I haven't done those big sins. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't, you know, raped anybody. I haven't burned people's houses down. I haven't robbed anybody, robbed banks or any of those things. You know, I'm not a sinful person. I haven't done those big sins. But there's one detail they're missing. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So then what's the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. You know, I used to work at Walmart, and I worked in lawn and garden. I worked both down here in Edmond and up in Shakota, my hometown. When I worked in Shakota, I had another man I worked with. His name was Michael. Now, Michael was a very lazy man. There are certain jobs that Michael did not like doing, such as going to the back of the store to unload a truck or stocking merchandise. One time, he was complaining about the jobs that he had to do. And my department manager, her name was Martha, she went up to him and said, "You know what, Michael? It all pays the same." Well, that's kind of how sin is. It all pays the same. It doesn't matter if you murder someone, if you rape someone, or if you look lustfully at someone, or if you tell a lie, it still pays the same. It still separates us from God. And the only way we can be justified is by faith and obedience into Christ. The problem is that they're not able to concentrate that on the first place. So that's the seed on thorns. Now we have the good one, the seed on the soil. Verse 23, and the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this is someone who looks honestly at the scriptures. They don't allow the world to influence what they're thinking. They look at it for themselves. They want that evidence for themselves. They honestly consider the scriptures and consider the evidence. You know, they acknowledge the fact that it's going to be challenging. They're not going to come out of that baptistry and never sin again and never have any problems. They understand that there's still going to be trials and tribulations because of who they're following, but they're willing to work for the one who's going to give them eternal life. You know, and they understand that whenever they make this commitment, that's like making marriage, that Christ comes before everything else, that Christ is above all else, and, you know, everything goes through Him. And that you live for Him first instead of all these earthly things. And that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And let Christ add all those things to you that you may worry about, that the world tells you ought to chase. You know, ultimately they go on and they bear fruit. So, we talked about all four of these areas. My question for you now is, where's your heart? You know, some may have obeyed the gospel here. You know, I know it seems like every single Sunday someone obeys the gospel here. And, you know, that's wonderful news. And do they maintain? Where is your heart? Are you totally bought in on Christ? Are you totally willing to do whatever you can for Him? Maybe you're living in some kind of sin. You need help with it. Well, we don't want you to go about it alone. We want to pray for you. We want you to be restored. And we want to meet you in heaven. If there's any need you have, please come forward as we stand and sing.